All right, so this morning they're going to do things a bit differently, as you can imagine, if we're going to get through the Bible in a morning. And I'd like a volunteer. Do I have a scribe, somebody who volunteered to write something on the board for me here, please? You don't have to know the Bible. It's not a prerequisite to actually have all of the knowledge, all of the text in your head. You need somebody to write, somebody really with the ability to write. A school teacher, you're being offered. Oh, Ben's. Thank you, Ben. So we have there was a pen, sorry, it's fallen off. Okay, so just a simple question, a couple of questions. Can somebody give me a name of a person in the Bible? Okay, so let's start. David, can you just write David on here? Another one, just stick your hand up and I'll have to take you one at a time because everybody's going to call out. Peter. Samson. Ruth. Richard. Moses, Abraham, Jesus. We're going to fill our six spots really quickly. Okay, so we've got six names on there. So, okay, I want six events or places in the Bible, please.
Sermon on the Mount.
The Mount. Okay. Another one.
Calvary.
You thought of that one too.
The Exodus.
The Exodus. You want me to cover all this?
Genesis.
Oh, that's a big event. The beginning.
Eden.
Eden. Emmaus, yes.
Crossing the Red Sea.
And the Red Sea. That'll do us. That'll do us. That'll be enough for me. E-double-M. That'll do. That's close enough. Yep.
Red Sea.
Yep. Thank you, Scribe. Appreciation, please. All right. Yes, you can take your seat. That's it. Thanks. Yep. Now for the reason why we've taken those names down. Over the next couple of weeks, so we've got a overview slide. Where's the clicker here? Yep, we've got a clicker here. So over the next couple of weeks, we're starting a fresh look at the Bible. As the reading that I asked Ash to do beforehand tells us, the whole Bible is valuable for us. So we need to make sure that we know the whole thing, not just the parts we like. Okay, so... We're going to do an overview of the Bible again. I don't know when the last time it was done in this church was, but it's always good to have the whole scope of Scripture in your head, to be able to think of it and have bookmarks, if you like, that you can go to in those places. So we'll return to these names and events later on to see how they fit into the overall scheme. So I'm not going to lecture on each of those things. So we've got the next one here. That's the next step. As an IT person, you turn it on. Is there a power button? All right, yes. Where am I pointing it? Because it's putting the pieces together. All right. So, yeah, hopefully what this is going to achieve is that there will be lots of pieces of the Bible. If you're anything like me, it's really only been in the last 10 years that I've actually been able to put some of the pieces of where things happen in Scripture together. And that takes quite a while. And these sort of things, I think, help to allow you to work out whereabouts they fit. So we're going to go to... It's not... I press the next on here, don't I? There's a fair few. You're going to know when to do it? All right, let's move on. Stage one, creation. Place the creation page up on. Keep going, next one.
Hang on, we'll try it again.
This might take a while. Let me know when it comes up there and I'll keep going here. God made the world and everything in it. And he made humans in his own image. The first humans were Adam and Eve. As creator of the world, God is ruler and king of it. However, God blessed Adam and Eve and appointed them to be rulers over his creation, even though he was the king. Right, so next slide. Genesis 1:31. God saw that all he'd made, and it was very good. There was evening, there was morning, the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were created, were completed in all their vast array. Adam and Eve chose to reject God, their ruler or king. The effects of rejecting God were devastating. He withdrew his blessing from them and from all of creation. And this is known as the fall. So we go to the fall. As a result of the fall, humans no longer rightly relate to God and to each other or to the creation in which they've been placed. The people tried to build a tower so huge that they could make a name for themselves apart from God. The Tower of Babel represents human pride, self-made religion, and an attitude that says, I can do without God. People followed in Adam and Eve's footsteps, crying out to God, we know better, we'll do things our way. So forward again to Genesis 11:4. All right. And they said, let's come build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves and not be scattered over the face of the whole earth. So next slide. God's response to human actions at Babel was to confuse their language so they could not complete the tower and scattered them over the whole earth. However, we'll see that God did not give up on humanity. God's kingdom. Already we've seen that humans have set themselves against God. They've refused to rule creation rightly under God's leadership. Throughout the rest of the Bible, we'll see that God is at work to save his rebellious world and establish his kingdom by choosing a human to rightly rule under him. The main message of the Bible can be summarized as the story of God, the king who rules and saves and who calls humans to rule creation rightly underneath him. So we've got God rules and God saves. And next slide is the pledge. As we said, God did not give up on humanity. The Bible tells us that God chose one man, Abraham, and made a special pledge to him, also called a covenant or a promise. Whereas at Babel, the people had sought to make a name for themselves, God promised to make a name for Abraham and pledged him a special relationship. Next slide. God would make a great nation from Abraham's descendants and give them a land of their own. He did this so that in the end, the whole world would be blessed and humanity's rejection of God would not go on forever. Genesis 12, verse 1. The Lord said to Abram, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great. You will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. We're going back to the beginning, are we? Okay, so we're about 17 in when you get it back up again. Stage 4, Exodus from slavery. Abraham's descendants became known as Israel. They went to Egypt, and there they were made slaves for about 400 years. But God had not forgotten his pledge to Abraham. God saved his people, Israel, from slavery by bringing them through the Red Sea. We're at slide 20. The Exodus, as that event has become known, was a defining event, defining moment in the history of Israel as a nation. They were the people that the Lord had saved from the land of slavery. The Lord, Yahweh, was the God who saved them, and it was Moses who led them out of Egypt. Exodus chapter 2 and Exodus 14 after that. During that long period, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned in their slavery and cried out, and their cry for help because of their slavery went up to God. God heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry land with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. Stage 5, the promised land. Deuteronomy 26 says, so the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. With great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders, he brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. God brought Israel through the sea in order to bring them to the land that he promised to Abraham and his descendants. They were to live as God's special people in the land that he'd given them. The promises to Abraham were beginning to be fulfilled. There was a nation of descendants who were to receive the promised land. And on the way there, they found out more about their special relationship with God. Stage 6 is the law. On their way to the promised land, Israel was given instructions on how to live in their new land. These instructions told Israel about what it meant to be in a special relationship with their God. The law told them how to live as God's saved people, how to live as the people through which the whole world would ultimately be blessed. The most famous part of the Old Testament is the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy chapter 6. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, so that you may enjoy a long life. Stage 7 is the kings. While they're in the promised land, God gave Israel kings. The king's role was to be God's representative on earth by ruling Israel and saving them in battle. The most famous king of Israel was David. The king also represented Israel before God. For example, when King David sinned, the whole nation was punished in 2 Samuel 24. He came to represent Israel's relationship with God. 1 Samuel 12. Now here is the king you've chosen, the one you asked for. See, the Lord has set a king over you. If you fear the Lord and serve and obey him and do not rebel against his commands, if you and the king who reigns over you follow the Lord, good. Stage 8, exile. Throughout the history, God's people disobeyed the law, neglected their special relationship with God. They didn't love the Lord their God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and they didn't love their neighbor as themselves. Even the kings forgot about God. The very people through whom God planned to bring blessing to the world were thinking, we know better. God, we'll do things our way. So God took them out of the promised land. He sent them away to the surrounding nations. Some of the people returned after living in exile in Babylon for 70 years. While they were in exile, the people were in anguish because it seemed that God's promises to Abraham were being undone. Many descendants were wiped out, and those who were left were banished from the promised land. Psalm 137 records their anguish. By the rivers of Babylon we sat down and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars we hung our harps, for there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, O Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it to the foundations. O daughter of Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is he who repays you what you've done to us, he who seizes your infants and dashes them against a rock. It was clear that the nation of Israel had followed the pattern set by Adam and Eve. They set themselves against God and failed to be the blessing to the whole world that God had designed for them. Stage 9, the prophets. Before, during, and after the exile, God sent prophets. God spoke through these prophets to call Israel back to their special relationship with God. The prophets reminded Israel that God had made a pledge with them. They explained that God's people had treated their God badly and warned that the people were heading for exile. So this is before exile. God's warning his people. But the prophets also comforted, telling them that God would not forget his pledge to Abraham and his descendants. The prophets pointed forward to the ultimate fulfillment of this pledge. Jeremiah 31. says, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I've made with their forefathers when I took them from the land to lead them out of Egypt, because they broke my covenant, even though I was a husband for them, declares the Lord. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel at that time, declares the Lord. I will put my law in their mind and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they will be my people." We come to the life of Jesus, stage 10. You see the story building up. God kept his pledge by sending his son, Jesus, into the world. Jesus was born a Jew, an Israelite who was a descendant of King David. He lived the life of a special relationship with God that all of Israel was supposed to live. He fulfilled the words of the prophet. Prophets, multiple. Unlike Israel, unlike Adam and Eve, Jesus never disobeyed God. He told people it was time for God's people to be reconciled to him. Luke 2 and Mark 13. "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." After John was put in prison, Jesus went to Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. "The time has come," he said. "The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news." That's quick, isn't it? This is the death of Jesus. Jesus willingly died to take on himself the punishment due to humanity for their rejection of God. The Old Testament was pointing forward to this event. In the cross of Jesus, God the King was God the Savior too. It was God's plan to demonstrate his love for his people by this act of self-sacrifice. It is an astonishing way to establish a kingdom. Romans 5 says, "You see, just at the right time, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Stage 12, resurrection of Jesus. God raised Jesus from death, showing that the penalty for disobedience has been paid, and the world could now be reconciled to God. After appearing to his followers, Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father, where he began his reign as the saving ruler of God's kingdom. His resurrection began the age of resurrection in which God's people will inherit eternal life with Christ. Adam and Eve rebelled, Israel rebelled, but the righteous one, Jesus Christ, became the saving ruler of God's kingdom. 1 Corinthians 15 says, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." Stage 13 is Pentecost. When Jesus returned to God, he sent the Holy Spirit to live in his followers. Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Spirit of Truth in John 14 and tells us that the Spirit makes Christ known to his people and to the world. He convicts the world of its sin and comforts believers with the knowledge of God. The Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost when a group of believers saw tongues of fire descending from heaven. And they began to speak in different languages, and 3,000 people in Jerusalem heard the news of the risen Christ and believed. God's pledge to Abraham that he would believe, that he would provide a blessing to all nations was being fulfilled. The nations were becoming part of God's kingdom, and God left his Spirit to be with them until Jesus returns. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. "We have not received the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may understand what God has freely given us." Stage 14, the return of Jesus. Jesus will return as the powerful and glorious King. At that time, he will express the fullness of God's kingdom by judging the whole world and punishing Babelish pride and rejection of God. But those who trust in Jesus will be saved from God's judgment and will be with God forever. Until Jesus returns, his people are to live here in a manner worthy of the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians 1. He will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the majesty of his power on the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at amongst all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. The final stage in this part is the new creation. After Jesus returned, God will make a new heavens and a new earth that will last forever. This can be thought of as the ultimate promised land. Death and pain will be destroyed. God will dwell with his people in perfect relationship, perfect fellowship in the kingdom he's made. God's plan for the world began with creation and ends with a new creation. Once again, God will rule as king, with his people ruling the new creation under him. Revelation 21. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eye. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the older order of things has passed away." So, there's the broad sweep of Scripture. A full picture of this summary of the foundation and fulfillment of the Bible in 15 stages. Obviously, not everything recorded in the Bible is in these 15 steps, explicitly anyway. But it's intended that these stages give the overall flow of the Bible. The Bible tells us that God appointed Jesus Christ as the saving ruler of God's kingdom. In the Old Testament, we see the foundations of this message, and we learn who God is, what he does, and how he works. God has a relationship with his people based on his promises. In the New Testament, we see the fulfillment of these promises in Jesus Christ. By his life, death, and resurrection, Jesus began God's kingdom, and he will establish it forever. Can we put the overall picture of the... Yeah, that's it. So, we went through these names here beforehand just as a ones that you thought of. Anybody not see where they fit in that picture? David? Kings. David's explicitly spelled out there. Samson. In between here. Yeah? Ruth? Same sort of place? Yeah? Moses, well, explicitly spelled out on there. Abraham, explicitly spelled out. And Jesus, another one. What about places? Mount, Sermon on the Mount. Yep, we know that's in the life of Jesus. Calvary, the life of Jesus. Well, the death of Jesus as well. He was alive at one point. Egypt, that's spelled out. Well, Exodus from slavery. Yep. Eden. Yep. Right back at creation. The road to Emmaus, that's the life after. That's between the raising of Jesus and Pentecost. And the Red Sea, well, that is Exodus from slavery as well. So I hope over the next couple of weeks we're going to go a bit deeper into, there's a whole sermon on the Old Testament, or a whole message similar to this, but going deeper into that section, and then one on the New Testament as well. But as I said, just sometimes just being able to see a picture of where the whole sweep of things is, and where the passage you're looking at maybe fits, helps to understand its context. But I was just thinking this morning, with some of the songs we had, what a great God we have. What a great story we have. And it's written down for us. It's not something we've got to try and imagine. It's a fantastic, unbelievable in some, it's only believable by the Spirit of God, which is why the world has so much trouble with it. But this is a fantastic story, and we need to value it. As that reading that I asked for beforehand says, the whole of Scripture is valuable for us. And there are parts that we haven't touched for a long time, and it would be great to even pull some of those out this year and say, you know what, we've never been to this for 10 years, and there's something in there for us. I don't know, bless the Lord. I hope that's useful for you. Actually, just as a postscript, the series is actually written by Matt Malcolm and his father. So that's not my material. This is a book that's available. You're able to get copies of it if you like, and you can talk to Larry when he gets back. As I said, there's more to come. But yeah, that book was put together by Matt, so it's very good.